Welcome to the OA Light Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Eric.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Good evening. My name's Eric. I'm a Pulse Vo reader.
Hi, Eric.
Hi there. Thank you for inviting us to come down. This is my wife, Annie. She's also in our fellowship and come here to support and, you know, guide me to the Brentwood area. Actually, is a place that exists in California. I didn't know that. Right on. I came into program very early on in age. I was 11 years old, actually. And by that time, I was proficient at diet and exercise. My folks had split up just before my fifth birthday. And I had to go live with my stepmother and my stepfamily and all that good stuff. And it was difficult. You know, my mother was my world to me. And now I couldn't be around her except on weekends. And I believe that everybody has to figure out how to survive, even as children, you know. How do you make it through the day, you know? And prior to that, I really can't recall having an issue with food, you know. I remember there was this Easter basket on early morning or something like that, and it was huge, and there was like a ton of stuff, enough to feed the whole, you know, everybody in the neighborhood. And I just thought, wow, that's a cool basket. And then I got on my bicycle and I went out and played, you know. It was not a big deal. But when I was, you know, living with my stepfamily, I do recall there was a time when I wasn't hungry that I started to eat food for a different reason, and it felt good. You know, it felt, it relieved whatever issues were going on with me in my mind at the time, and I wanted more of that, you know. It was the only thing that was making everything okay. So I continued to do that, you know. I continued to figure out how to get my alcoholic foods, as it were, you know. It was because alcoholic foods, it wasn't like I needed to eat. It wasn't like I was hungry. It had nothing to do with the normal process of consuming food. It was because there were thoughts and emotions and feelings that I didn't know what to do with. I didn't know how to deal with them, and I certainly didn't know how to express myself and say, hey, something's wrong here, you know. I mean, they understood that I wanted to be with my mom, but they didn't understand everything else that was going on, and I couldn't surely express myself, you know. And so that's how I started out, and I continued on that path, you know. I started to compulsively overeat, and it wasn't like I was starved or anything. We had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know. It was not a big deal. They gave us a little sweet snack before bedtime. It was, you know, it was really, and as far as that goes, it was healthy and normal. But I needed something more, you know. So I figured it out. You know, I began to steal away into the kitchen, and I would grab whatever I could and make my way back to the bedroom, and, you know, kind of hide whatever I found under my pillow or under the bed or in the closet, you know, and then kind of check out my tracks and make sure nobody was looking, close the door, and then consume whatever I had taken, you know. And I had to, and that wasn't enough. My dad would come home from work, he worked construction, and he'd leave his pants laying on the floor, you know, in his bedroom, and then he'd go take a shower. So I'd steal away in his pants, and I'd take some loose change, or maybe every once in a while, when I had the courage to, I'd take an actual dollar bill or out of there, you know, and then I would just, you know, all the money that I ever, you know, that ever came my way or I took, you know, was all about, you know, getting me my alcoholic foods, you know. And I would, even at school, in elementary school, I recall I would, I wouldn't say that I would beg for food, but I was definitely, you know, the kids knew why I was still at the lunch tables way after my food was gone, you know. And some people would take mercy on me. There would be like a French fry or a half-eaten sandwich, and I would gladly down that, you know. And I even recall at one time I took trash out of the, I took food out of the trash can, and it was just ridiculous that somebody had left, they took a bite out of this thing and they left it on top. And I was like, why would you do that? That's just ignorant, you know? So I took the thing and I ate it and it was amazing. It was absolutely fantastic, you know? And of course it was. And I recall going back to class, you know, in elementary school, I guess some of the teachers were called to do active duty, you know, to monitor the kids at recess and all that stuff after lunch. And I think my teacher might have been doing that. I'm not sure. But afterwards, you know, she was just talking about blah, 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 you know, I don't know what she was saying. And then she goes, and some people have to eat out of the trash can. You know, and my heart sank and I was like, oh my God, she's talking about me. You know, I'm going to die right here, right now in elementary school. I'm going to die. You know, she could have been talking about, you know, people that were starving and I had no idea, but I thought she was talking about me, you know, and I recall it, you know, I still recall that today. I was devastated. Not like that was a deterrent for me, by the way. I'm just saying, I didn't want to be pointed out. That's the guy that eats out of the trash can. I don't want to be that guy, you know. You must be talking about the guy next to me. You know, so I continued on this path, you know, and it was just, you know, I set the foundation for my future right at this time, you know, and I started to put on weight. Of course I did. Of course I put on weight because I was eating as much as I possibly could, you know, and I would look forward to the holidays because it was just on. With my family, they like to drink, you know, and eventually those bastards are going to go to sleep. And then, you know, this is just like Disneyland for compulsive overeaters, you know. I mean, there's leftovers everywhere, and they made the best things during the holidays, right? So it was like, yeah, you know, I was really looking forward to that. And I had this grandma, and I had that grandma, and we went to this house and that house, and I was like, oh, man, this is fantastic, you know. And I got to see my mom on the weekends, and she would treat me like a little prince, you know. And I would any place I wanted to go, anything I wanted to do, and it all revolved around food, of course, you know. And that was very important to me. And I was very isolative, you know. I didn't have any really, really big social skills. I watched TV and I compulsively overate. So, yeah, you know, I was not into sports at all, and I didn't really want to get out of the house. Really loved staying home and watching television. Really loved that a lot, you know. I remember one time my dad had he was calling. Now this is back in the 70s, so there was no like answer machine and, you know, voicemail and all that stuff, you know. So if the phone rings, you either pick it up or you don't, you know. So I'm watching cartoons and the phone's ringing, and I didn't pick it up because, you know, I couldn't walk away and still see the cartoons from where the phone was. So I'm sorry, I hope that wasn't important because I'm not picking up. And he came home and he was pissed, you know. And, you know, it was just so important for me to, you know, to isolate. It was so important for me to check out, you know. I paralyzed myself, I guess, you know. And as the weight started to get worse, I started to go on diets. You know, my mom was really into diets and exercise, and she wasn't a compulsive overeater, but she liked living that lifestyle, you know, a healthy lifestyle, and she would find these diets at her job, and whatever she found, she'd bring it home, right? And every weekend I'd go over there and I'd be in a diet for like, you know, 24 hours or 5 minutes, whatever came second, and I would try everything because, you know, that's the answer to all your problems. If you get on a diet, you're going to be fine. You know, if you can control your food, that's the answer, you know. And I knew that as a child. I didn't have a conversation with anybody. I just knew because I watched TV, and in TV, people were thin. And automatically, without, again, talking to anybody, I knew if you're thin, you're automatically happy. That's it. Thin people are happy, you know, and I wasn't thin. So as soon as I become that, and this is how, I'll be happy. And I tried all these diets, and they were great, you know. I mean, especially the all-you-can-eat ones. All-you-can-eat diet. That's amazing. I don't know who invented that, but that person is brilliant, you know. Because it made those foods, you know, because, like, they came up with so many different foods. I think they had Weight Watcher frozen meals at the time. You know, they're frozen Weight Watcher meals. You know, I can do that. I'm not a cook, but I can throw this into the oven and I can cook that, you know, and, you know, wait for the dinger and then get down like Charlie Brown on that. And it's great because it's low calorie, so you can eat like six of those things, you know, and that's fine because it's diet food, and that's how I worked all the diets. I actually don't know if diets work or not, to be honest with you. I'm sure that a diet would say consult your physician, and I'm not doing that. And it would say you might want to add a little light exercise with this. I'm not doing that either, you know. And maybe, you know, drink water instead of diet soda. And like, that's being ridiculous. Come on, you know. So I really don't know if they work or not, but I really enjoy their food, you know. I really do. I think their foods are just amazing, you know, because I can binge. You know, it's funny about binging. I hear in program like, oh, this is my trigger, and I stay away from this kind of food, and you know, I can't have that kind of food, and I can't do this and that with regards to food. And I'm like, oh wow, you know, with regards to my binging, I just need, my only requirement is that I'm awake. It doesn't have to be a specific thing that triggers me, except for, you know, the fact that I'm a compulsive overeater, and it's what I do to survive, you know. So yeah, I found myself, you know, on these diets, and I knew that they were the answer, you know. And especially I loved certain diet foods became my all-time favorites, and we always had them around. I don't know if anybody's old enough to recall, they had this this diet drink called Seago, and the slogan was Seago is great for your ego. And it was, you know, it was great for my ego, and it was also excellent with a sandwich or anything else. Just basically, it was just a shake, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and it's like, oh yeah, this is awesome, and I am totally dieting, you know. And before AIDS was a horrible and debilitating disease, it was a delicious caramel, and also came in chocolate, and you would consume this, and it goes into your stomach, and it expands, and then, you know, you overcome your spiritual malady, and you're fine. Or you just eat the whole box, whatever. Yeah, my box, my AIDS box was broken because I just ate the crap out of that, and I got nothing but, you know, joy from the eating and then the misery after the eating. So, but you know, I tried all these things. I knew that they were going to work. I just knew it, and I had hope. You know, I knew if I found the perfect diet, if I would, you know, engage in some kind of exercise, just like Bruce Jenner on the Wheaties box. You know, he's like, you know, I could be that guy. Then, you know, I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be happy. I'm gonna be as happy as people seem to be to me, you know. And what happened was, I just got worse, you know. I got worse, and I got really desperate, and I got really super lonely because I'm not really interacting with my peers. I'm there because I have to. I have to go to school, and I have to be here for this, and I have to be there for that, you know. Even with my family, I didn't know how they. Well, I know how they did it. They drank. I'm not going to drink because, I mean, that sucks. I don't want to drink. I want to eat something. You know, if you can give me food that would intoxicate me, and there are a lot of alcohol foods that you can do that with, but not when you're a child. That's not legal, right? Yes, not legal. So, yeah, so I didn't have that social skill, and that made me, you know, it made me feel like I wasn't a part of this world, really, you know, because I knew as a child that I was different from other people, and I really wanted to be like other people, but it, you know, even in social situation, I was acting, I was pretending, you know, and hoping that you didn't understand that I was acting and pretending. I hope that you think that, oh yeah, Eric is, you know, he's a really normal kid, and I'm glad that he's here, and I'm so glad to talk to him, and all that stuff. And it's, you know, it was difficult. It was very difficult, you know. And as I got older, you know, the same thing remained. I didn't know how to express myself. I wasn't dealing with my thoughts or feelings, and I certainly didn't know how to tell you, I need help. You know, I need help. There's stuff that's going on with me, and I need help with this. I didn't know how to express that. It came out in different ways. You know, as an angry child, it was really easy for me to get angry. You know, and I can recall just, wow, people are just ignorant. Why are people so stupid? You know, and we could be like playing baseball at, you know, recess or something like that. Now, and I was just like, I don't want to play anymore because nobody knows how to play this game of baseball. Nobody knows how to play. I hate everybody. You know, hate was just, anger was just so easy to access for me as a child. I don't know. My dad liked to scream a lot. My stepmom, and he liked to fight with my stepmom a lot. But I don't know that that's where it came from. But from the pain, you know, and not knowing what to do with it. And as I found myself in this in Overeaters Anonymous when I was 11, I was still, when I came here, I was still looking for that. I was looking for that diet. I was looking for that exercise regimen that would make me normal. You know, that would make me thin. That would make me normal. Normal, thin. Normal, thin. Same thing. And I didn't find it here. You know, I was disappointed. I was really disappointed in Overeaters Anonymous. You know, I come looking for the answer, and you know, I know I'm young, but still, there was supposed to be a magic diet that you guys were on that I can have, and that would, you know, change my life, and that didn't happen. You know, it didn't happen. I went home after my first OA meeting, and I binged. And I binged because I assumed that eventually we're going to start a diet. I didn't find one that night, but I knew we were going to start one. And, you know, Monday's coming, so I have to get all my binging done before Monday comes, because there's a protocol that you have to follow, right? You can't just start a diet any day of the week. That's insane. Monday. Diet day. Cross the land. And, you know, I'm not going to fight protocol. That's who I am. So, you know, I binged my brains out. And, yeah, I remember my dad just, you know, shaking his head. You know, because he's really proud of me. No, he's very disappointed. You know, I knew what I was doing, and I knew that he didn't know how to do this process because he doesn't know how to diet. All he does is drink and work and provide and be a great dad and all that stuff. You know, he doesn't know what it takes to be me. You know, I need to compulsively overeat. I have this protocol. I'm doing what I'm doing. Don't worry about me. You know, and I'm not even asking for help. You know, I've got thoughts and feelings and experiences that I'm not doing anything with except isolating compulsively overeating to get through each day. You know, when things get really bad, I just revert back to that, you know, and it got comfortable and familiar really early on. And I finally came back to program after, you know, a few years of doing what I do. And I checked myself into a treatment facility. And I went through a 6-week program, and it was great. You know, there was me, there was 19 women. And there was this other kid that was like a year younger than I was. I was a teenager at this time. And we went to meetings every day of the week. They put us in the short bus, you know, and they ship us off to a meeting. And we'd pile in probably late, disrupting the meeting each time that we arrived. And, you know, we had absolutely nothing to say, but we sure liked to talk a lot. And that's where I really, for the first time, really, really got the program in a nutshell. You know, just this is the program. This is how it works. There was a man that was standing at a podium at one of these meetings in Orange County and at this Placentia Linda Hospital back in the 80s. And this guy, he says, you know, I know that you're looking for the answers. You're here because you're in pain. You're here because you're having issues with this compulsion. And I'm going to give you all the answers right now. You know, and I'm sitting at the edge of my seat. I was like, this is what I was looking for this whole time. Finally! You know? So he goes, okay, so here's what you do. You get a sponsor and you follow direction. Thanks for letting me share. And I was like, wow! I'm not doing that. You know, because nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me. I already have parents and I've got teachers and, you know, things that people are telling me what to do all the time. You're telling me that I come to a meeting, ask some stranger that I'm not even going to pay or sign an agreement to tell me what to do. He's going to tell me what to eat, what meetings to go to, what book to read from, to be of service, to make outreach calls. Some stranger's going to do that? Hell no. Nobody tells me what to do. I was adamant about that, you know. But I like the fact that he lost a lot of weight. That was cool. Yeah, respect. Respect, definitely. Yeah, you know, I don't know what his food plan was, but you know, he had a girlfriend, That's pretty cool, because, you know, I don't have one of those. So, that's two, you know. And so I think that at that time, if I continue to go to meetings at least, you know, maybe I can figure out my own take on this, just like with the diets, right? Yeah, because there's a diet and there's a plan with the diet, and then I just kind of put my spin on it, you know? You know what that needs? Cookies. Put some cookies on there, and then, now it's a balanced meal. Good for you and for me, you know? And the same thing with program. You know what that needs? Don't get a sponsor. Don't follow direction. But, you know, just sit around and pick stuff out that you like and kind of incorporate that into your day. Call that program. Say that you're in recovery. And, yeah, and you can get a chip, too. Don't even ask. How many people here, with a show of hands, have sponsored themselves? Okay. Isn't that awesome? You know what? I think we should eat this. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. Yeah. Should we go to this place that is going to cause us trouble? You know what? You should go to this place that causes you trouble because it's going to be awesome. You know? And you don't have to buy other people. You just, you know, you're sponsoring yourself. It's amazing. You know, I love sponsoring myself. And, I think now I'm going to get a chip. Let's get a chip. We're going to get a three-year chip because we've been for 3 years now sponsoring ourselves, you know? And also, when you're sponsoring yourself, you can show up late to a meeting and leave early. You can go to one meeting for the whole year and say, I went to meetings that year, you know? Because I didn't have anybody to run it by, you know? So everything that I wanted to do, everything that I was thinking was fantastic. And why? Because I already ran it by myself. Is that okay? Eric, please, you're awesome. Of course it's okay. I don't know. I'm kind of putting on a little weight. Really? How about now? Take a shower. How you feel? Good. You're awesome. Get out there, you know? Because it really didn't matter if I was in recovery, if I was feeling better or not, you know, because I was going to meetings. And I was taking the parts that I thought that, you know, were important, and I was incorporating that into my life, you know. And I knew how to talk program after a time. Because, you know, you just come to a meeting. Go to meetings. And you'll learn how to, you know, repeat back what you heard, basically. You don't actually have to apply it to your life. Let's not get crazy, you know. But, yeah, you know, yeah, program, and I'm on step 17, and God and meetings. Thanks for letting me share. You know? Yeah, I had no clue. So I'm coming and going. And the cool thing about this fellowship of ours is that you don't have to work a program to be welcome in these rooms. Isn't that awesome? It really is. It really is. The third tradition states that the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Nowhere in there does it say you must have a sponsor. You must work a food plan. You must have a connection with a power greater than yourself. Nowhere in there does it have any stipulation like that at all. I did have a desire to stop eating compulsively. I was a member in that respect. But in all honesty, I wasn't really a member because I knew that I wasn't as bad as you guys. You know? Did you pass out my... thank you, baby. That's my baby. And she's having my baby. Little side note there. Got over the isolation thing. So where was I? So anyways, yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm spinning out of control here, but I'm coming back to meetings because I know that I can. And I didn't really feel like I was a part of this thing. I truly didn't. You know, my ego was such that I knew that I was going to figure out a better way of working the program than the way you guys were doing it. And not to say that everybody in program is automatically in recovery, you know, but I definitely knew that I wasn't. You know, and the people that were sharing that they were in recovery, every single one of them, there was a continuity there. Everyone had a sponsor. Every one of them was following that sponsor's direction, you know. And in my eyes, every one of those people were weak. You know, you're doing it wrong. You're working way too hard at this thing. There is an easier, softer way. I have not figured it out yet, but I will. And when I do, I'm going to bring this back to you guys. Okay? And I'm going to make it a lot easier for you. And I knew this to be true. I knew I was going to find an easier, softer way. I just had so much confidence in myself. You know, and you get that when you're sponsoring yourself. As you're talking, the ignorance that you're spewing out is being, you know, co-signed by this insanity here saying, yes, that was a good thing to say. And, oh, you got to write that one down. You know, and just everything I say and everything I do is just magnificent, co-signed by my insanity, you know, because I'm sponsoring myself. And how awesome is that? You know, so I continued on this path, and I was able to find the food plan at the eating disorders treatment facility where I was going. You know, because they had a nutritionist, and she says you're this age, and you're this tall, and you're a male, and this is what you need to eat, and this is a good plan for you, and blah blah blah. You know, and here's some nutrients and supplements to take with that. And it was all fantastic. You know, Metamucil. Anybody know what Metamucil is? That's great stuff. Anyways. You know, and so I got that, and then we had this, you know, this person to take us out to do exercises and stuff like that, and she taught us, you know, go for a walk, and, you know, do some simple things, and it just, you don't have to, you know, she made it really easy for us, and I was like, oh, great, so exercise, diet, boom, got it, I'm out, you know. So, I mean, I did hear in program and in treatment of what I needed to be doing, you know, and that was a good seed that was planted in my head. Definitely. I was not willing to follow that direction at that time. I was not able to become that honest with myself. You know. And I definitely was able to begin to share my thoughts and feelings, especially in treatment. You know, they had therapists for the group, and they had one-on-one therapists there. And so I actually did get to start to express myself, and this is what it's like. Also, it was okay. You know, which I wasn't used to. My dad used to say that, you know, I would say something about, I feel bad about somebody, like a worker on the side of the road doing some hard job, and he goes, oh, you know what, you really shouldn't talk about stuff like that. You shouldn't make such a big deal out of things, you know. And I interpreted that as I shouldn't really share my thoughts with my dad, you know. And I don't know that that's what he meant, but that's how I interpreted it, you know. So I didn't know that it was okay to share such feelings and thoughts and feelings with others. I didn't know that that was okay. When I went to treatment, they're like, absolutely. What, are you crazy? Of course it's okay. Yeah. What's going on with you, Eric? Tell me what's going on with you. What can we do to help? You know? And I was like, well, okay. So all that was fantastic, you know? And I was just looking for the diet and the exercise regimen. So I left that, and I still kept coming to program, you know, because I was now an alumnus of a 12-step fellowship, you know, that was in the eating disorders treatment facility, you know, so I get to come and go as I please. I have arrived, you know, I have ascended. I'm one of them now, you know, although I'm not working any kind of program whatsoever, but, you know, I considered myself to be that way. And I came and went to program mostly off and not on, but, you know, as I do, and I was able to hang on to that diet for a couple of years, which I thought was impressive. You know, I can hold on to a diet for a long period. And then I started to put my little spin on that diet and put on some weight. My jeans were getting tight, and that's unacceptable. So I put myself back in treatment. You know, I begged my parents, please send me back. And they said, all right, we'll send you back. Send me back. I stayed there 6 weeks. I lost some weight. As soon as I left, whatever magic was there from the time before, it was gone. And I started binging immediately, you know. And shortly thereafter, my dad passed away, and he was, you know, just the center of my universe. You know, it was so hard when my dad passed away that I didn't understand how people still function in the world. How can you function knowing darn well that my dad's not with us anymore? And, you know, everybody in the world didn't know my dad, but that was just the way I was, you know, I was thinking, you know, like, wow, the world is still spinning and my dad's not here anymore. You know, it was devastating, and I didn't know what to do with that. And I certainly didn't know how to share about that piece, you know. I just went into a super dark place in my life. You know, it was darkness every day. It was darkness every day, and I just, you know, I went back to what I knew to be helpful, just isolating compulsively overeat, and everything's going to be fine. You know, someday something's going to happen, and everything's going to just turn around for you, man. And it didn't, but it did get worse, which it also talks about in the big book, that this is a progressive illness. Over time, it gets worse. Never better. Not sometimes better, but never better. It's kind of a harsh word to say, but there it is. And that's my experience. You know, that definitely got worse. And so I came back to program off and on for several more years until I would say about 93. I got this sponsor who I didn't really think much of. I was sharing at a meeting. There was maybe two other newcomers, and then my soon-to-be sponsor and myself there, and I was sharing some ridiculousness of whatever my day was going on, you know, whatever. He sized me up right away, realized that I had nothing to offer as far as this fellowship goes, you know, knew that I was in need, and offered himself. He came and actually offered himself, you know, would you like to work the steps with me? Because, you know, I'm a sponsor. And I thought, you know, no. but I shook his hand anyways, and I got his number, and I just kind of marinated on that for about a month or so, and I finally called this guy up, and he goes, okay, I want you to come over to my house after work on Wednesday, and I want you to bring your big book with you, and that's it. And I said, are you sure? There's nothing else you want me to do? He said, no, that's it. That's all I want you to do. So I went to his house on that Wednesday, and we picked up the big book. I've had a big book for a very long time. I never actually read the darn thing. Bunch of alcoholics. I don't drink, please. So what exactly does this book have to do with me? You know, I never understood that. I never put it together. Couldn't understand the correlation with that. So he picks up the big book and automatically starts changing the words, you know. Okay, compulsive overeater and alcoholic foods, and it would say like sober, and he would change that to abstinent, and it would say drunk, and he would say stuffed. And for just a second, I was like, man, this guy got like Tourette's or something. So okay, you got the same book, right? You know, because I didn't understand what the hell he was doing. He's like, oh, listen, I'm just, you know, I'm changing the words because, you know, we're from OA. You know, he was actually from AA first before he came over to OA. But, you know, he's changing these words. And we were done with this session in like 45 minutes, and then I was back on the road, back coming home. I thought, and I never worked the program, never worked the steps before, ever, in years that I've been coming and going, right? And I understand what the big deal was. This is what you guys are, I hear about these steps all the time in the meetings, you know. I don't understand what the big deal was here, you know. Why was this so important? Why is it so important to learn these steps? And what's the importance of meeting with some stranger in his house and reading this book and having him ask me to highlight and underline and do all these things and explain things to me about what he's read because his sponsor told him to? I didn't get it. And then, as I'm thinking these things, I was hit with such amazing elation, you know, and calmness. And I didn't know what the hell that was, but I wanted some more of that because I've eaten a lot of food and never felt that way. Even when it's perfect, with the perfect television show, you know, and the perfect, you know, diet beverage, because you have to have balance. Balance. But I felt that way and I wanted more. So I followed this man's direction. He's like, 90 minutes and 90 days. Cut up all your credit cards. You know, we're going to go to a meeting in L.A. this weekend, and we're going to go on a retreat, and I want you to give me assignments and all kinds of stuff, you know. And I was like, yeah, bring it on, because everything that I was doing was contrary to my nature, and also, bonus, I was feeling better automatically, and I didn't even lose weight yet, you know. Which didn't make any sense to me at all, but I was like, wow, this is fantastic, and you know, so I started binging on that. You know, I was that guy at the meetings on time. You know, I left when the meeting left. I put away chairs. I was just like, whatever. I'm the coffee guy. Do you drink coffee? No, I do not. But I am the coffee guy for the next 6 months. You know, because whatever this man was telling me to do was helping me. And it was the only thing that ever made me feel like this. You know, and then, you know, some time passed and a year passed and I was a sponsor and I'm sponsoring people and I'm speaking at meetings and all that stuff, you know, And I'm getting to this point where a lot of people are approaching me that didn't approach me before, and they're saying things like, "Man, Eric, you lost a lot of weight, and you know you look fantastic." And I would say, "Yes, yes, I do." And they would say, "You know, Eric, what you said was really profound. It really helped me out. And I would say, yes. Yes, it did. You know, and just like that, I was in relapse. You know, my ego was fed. I was taking the credit for God's work in my life. You know, and I didn't. You know, the funny thing about the first compulsive bite, it's always the last thing to happen. You know, first I needed to disconnect from that power that was helping me, that was putting me in that place where it was okay for me to not compulsively overeat or act out compulsively. You know, it was the higher power that did that. It wasn't even my sponsor. My sponsor was a conduit. That's all. You know, I used him to connect to a power greater than myself so that I didn't have to compulsively overeat or act out compulsively. And once I started taking credit for God's work in my life, then that was the end of it. And eventually I did have to compulsively overeat because I eventually got rid of my sponsor, you know, because I'm the king of OA. You told me that I'm awesome. You say it every time I come to a meeting. You know, I can do no wrong. I'm walking on water. If I'm here, I'm just here to heal you. Just hold still. Okay, you're healed. You know? And the cool thing about the people in our fellowship is nobody took me aside and said, hey, look, jerk. Nobody had a conversation like, oh, I know that, you know, from experience that there were some elders there going, oh, okay, here's another one. And shooting star. And burn down. Next! You know? And yeah, it happens all the time. I've even witnessed that. It's amazing. It's like, wow, I was just like that person. Wow! Okay, they're gone. You know? It's amazing because I found out that it was the ego. It was the ego the whole time. You know? The ego is the problem. Every problem that I've ever had in the past or presently may have or in the future that comes up, if you trace it back to the original source of where it started, it's always my ego. Something I find unacceptable, something I don't agree with, whatever it is, it's always my ego, and that's what led me out of the rooms. I came back in 2005, and I had a whole bunch of information. I knew about the steps and the traditions and the concepts of Overeaters Anonymous, of the 12-step fellowship. I knew these things. And I even put up on workshops at one time, you know. So I came back with all this information. And what I didn't know was that the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts and everything that we utilize, all the information that we can acquire is absolutely useless. It is meaningless. It means nothing without a sponsor. You know, I couldn't sponsor myself that whole time I went out. I couldn't sponsor myself when I was in. I couldn't ever sponsor myself into recovery, you know. And I got a sponsor, and I told him in 2005, I told this guy, Ken, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he was so tactful. He's so cool. You, that's a great idea, Eric, but we're going to try it this way for a little bit instead. How about we do that? You know, I'm not tactful that way as a sponsor. I'm just like, you know, here's the direction. Follow it or find yourself another sponsor and give me a call. You know, he was like, oh, no, that's a great idea. Well, you think we should eat that and do this? Let's circle back to that. You know, let's try this for a little bit. So with this sponsor, I found my way back into recovery. I had no intention of staying here, mind you, but by the grace of God, I did, you know. And I continue to follow his direction on a daily basis, you know, because although I have been in program for quite a while now and also in recovery at the same time, I need help, you know. I still have a diseased mind, you know, and so I can't trust my opinion about my recovery. I have to ask my sponsor about that. I can help to facilitate others through their recovery, but I can't work my own program on me, you know. And working the steps with another sponsee is not working my own program. I have my own work to do, you know. So I remain, you know, constant with that connection with my sponsor. I still follow his direction to this day. We've been together since 2005. And my abstinence date is July 8th of 2005. I've given away 352 pounds. And, you know, I just wanted to lose a little bit of weight, and then I was going to leave, you know, because at my worst, before I came back to program, it was getting time for me to look for a wheelchair, and not because I was in some car accident, you know, not because I had some kind of cancer or back issue or something like that that would prohibit me was because I ate a lot of food and I sat. And now I need a wheelchair. And it was devastating and humiliating, you know. But when I followed the direction from a sponsor, when I do that thing, my life continues to improve, you know. And if you're struggling with this, that's cool, you know. If you're new, awesome. You know, if you're returning, I am so glad that you're here. You know, whatever it is that gets you into that door doesn't really matter. You know, and hang out as long as you want to. You are welcome to stay here. You never have to work a program. Just please keep coming back. And if you do want to work a program, you know, you really seriously want to work a program, you just do what she did. You know, she got a sponsor and she followed direction. That's it. You know, thanks for letting me share.